Another one day is Thursday, February 5th, 2026. And this is the week in charts. Obviously, I thank all you guys and girls for attending. Still working on getting the word out a little bit better and dealing with some technical issues, but hopefully the numbers will continue to increase and you guys can find it. If you can't ever find it, just let me know. I can always give you a direct link. What are we talking about? Well, obviously, current market conditions. Boy, well, I have a lot to say about that. I know I say that every week, but the volatility has really spiked lately, and it's been kind of nuts. So we'll talk a lot about that. And a lot of that will come out in the presentation, too. Your questions on trading, just feel free to type them in now. If there's any stock or crypto picks you want me to take a look at, you can go ahead and put those in now, too, just so we're not rushed at the end of the show. Also, if it's crypto, just add USD to it. I doubt there'll be anything to do with crypto, as ugly as it is. Bitcoin right now is down 7%. It has a 67,000 handle. How about that? There's your testament for all asset classes will lose at least half of their value at some point in your lifetime. I'm not sure who said that first, but it's, and if somebody knows, leave it in the comments below or let me know in chat. But it is a very true thing, and I've seen it numerous times across numerous markets, including stocks and real estate and many other areas, gold. Anyway, we're going to continue the trading resolutions for 2026, and I have a lot to say about that when we get there, so let me just hold off on that. Methodology in action. We have so much to talk about this week, about a dozen stocks or so, and it's really getting kind of interesting. There's a disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading, or as I'll sum it up, borrowing a line from my buddy Greg Morris. All predictions about the future, a lot of shit could happen between now and then. Thank you, Greg. There's all my contact information once again. You can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. Grab yourself a screenshot of that. All right, as I've said ad nauseum, when I first got started trading, I had some mixed success. And I felt like I should be doing a lot better than I was. And I felt like somebody else might have been doing really well. And how come I wasn't doing as well? And a lot of these insecurities develop when you're a one-man show or you're all alone in your trading. And then once I began to see other traders make trades and make mistakes and lose money and make money and actually follow their methodology, and more importantly, get better over time. There was one trader I was working with, and I was kind of shocked, and he'd been at this for 20 years or however long. And I remember 6 weeks after I was working with him, he had gotten better over that period of time. So it made me feel like, okay, you're going to get better at this as time goes on. And the other thing too is you're going to have a lot of emotions even though you've been at this for a while. In fact, I find that sometimes it's a lot harder after you've been at it a long time than it is when you're first going in, because sometimes you know you shouldn't do things, you do them anyway. You know the market's going to get clocked and you're going to have to hold through it, which we're going to talk about right now, and all these other features and benefits. Anyway, when these gurus talk about how great trading is and how great they are and everything, they leave out a few things in the brochure, and a couple of those things I like to flesh out now. And one of them is all trend trades eventually end badly. And here's a caveat to trend trades. The only way to make money trading is to capture a trend. Now, you might have some complex option strategy, but some parts and pieces of that strategy have to trend, obviously, in your favor for you to make money. So this is the tough part of trading, and you just have to learn how to live with it. I know, easier said than done. So this is the TFPM. If you go back and look at the archives, davelandry.com/archives, and I think you should be able to find this one on YouTube too, youtube.com/davelandry. You'll see that we got into this trade back in May of 2025. And we banked 964 at the initial profit target. Should have been 1,000, but because it had a little bit of a gap entry, that's why it's a little bit less than 1,000. But that's not where the real money is. The real money is in the longer-term trend, as you can see. Now, at that juncture, we had, or should say at this peak, we had 67.96 open plus whatever was banked, 964. And we have a stop right here. Now, if we stop out, we're going to give up a substantial portion, half of those open profits, and that's going to suck, okay? But what you have to realize is that there's ups and downs along the way, and you have to be willing to ride out these corrections. And the last correction, of course, turns into something much bigger, and you always feel like, damn it, I could have gotten out at the high. Well, playing that game, you'll never end up catching a longer term trend. But yeah, that would be a pretty big spanking if we get stopped out on this one, or I should say women get stopped out if we get stopped out at the current level. Now remember, the stock has to make a new closing high before that stop begins to get bumped up. And the other thing too, for those who are a little newer to the methodology, we do allow the stop on the second loaf to gradually open up in order to ride out some of these corrections. And I'm going to come back to the corrections here when we get to the trade resolutions. Anyway, similar example in KGC. We got in way, 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 way back here. We banked $1,000. It took a while to get there, but we banked it. And not that long ago, we had 12,225 open. Now, if we stop out, it's going to be one hell of a slide, right? So it'll be 8,150 total, okay? But you had 12,000 open not that long ago, right? So that is a $5,000 change loss, okay? Open loss to open profits. It comes with the territory, okay? There's been, and if you go back in and look at some older presentations that I've done, I often talk about how much each little correction costs. Like for instance, from here to here, that was a pretty expensive open profit drawdown. Fortunately, it went on to make even more open profits, but you have to be willing to take the good with the bad. It comes with the territory. Now, this is a former mystery chart, MDLN. It's an IPO, nice thrust higher. Nice deep retracement on these higher price IPOs. $30 or more is now my cutoff. I go for a more secondary pattern. A pioneer pattern would be something like a first thrust where you're buying on the 5-day closing high. Let's see where that would have been in this. 1, 2, 3, 4. That would have been a buy on this day here. However, I find when they come public at higher levels, I don't find that the buy at B works as well. And initially, those of you who have my course from a few years back, it was a $20 rule. And then as IPOs kind of, I don't want to say matured, but as the market kind of changed over the years, I upped that $20 rule to a $30 rule for the pioneer setups. Anyway, that's the first deep retracement. There's all the parameters down below. Okay, hot IPO, pullback, entries here, stop is here, and initial profit target is way up here. Let's see what happens. Triggers. And then it takes a little while, but it does work its way higher. Now, there are some prints at and above the initial profit target, but I never did confirm that I actually traded there. I did take profits on the day before it hit officially because it was kind of having a hard time getting there, and I figured that it was worth taking profits a little early. I do let everybody know in the Facebook group when I'm looking to take these profits a little early. And I'm not throwing caution to the wind or micromanaging, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. What I'm doing is I'm not splitting hairs, okay? And the real money's in the second loaf. If I make a little bit less than 1,000 per 100K on the first loaf, I'm okay with that because I've got a chip in a chair. I've got a chance to make a lot of money on that second loaf. And barring overnight gaps, I have a free ride, or as Charlie Kirk calls it, a free rolling. Charlie Kirk from Kirk Report. All right, so here we have a mystery chart, but it didn't trigger, so I'll show you what it is. And it took off nicely, and it has a bit of a double top knockout look to it, and that's where you have like a minor double top and then a pullback, obviously. And in this case, it's if you kind of combine the bars, your knockout bar would be like over 3 bars if you think about it like that. So maybe look at like a 2-bar chart or something. But anyway, it's also a Landry-like pullback. It pulled back to the moving average. There's all the parameters down below. So the entry is here, the stop is here, and the initial profit target is up here. And again, I get all of these old services to update these stocks. I get them off of davidlatter.com/archives. I actually use my own page to get them off. And you could also, again, get them on YouTube. Anyway, this is LAR. I decided to pull the setup. There were some other stocks that I liked a little better, which I'll show you here in just 1 second. It also, it kind of the fact that it was just stolen out and not really taken off. It doesn't look horrible, but I decided to pull it and put some other ones on, including this one here. So this is a new mystery chart. Nice uptrend, nice persistent uptrend. It did begin to accelerate a little bit toward the before it corrected, as you can see. Nice little pullback to the moving average. Again, another one of those Landry-like pullbacks. Entries here, stop is here, and initial profit target is up here. So we'll see how that one shakes out. I'll follow up in upcoming weeks. Here's another mystery chart. Nice uptrend remains intact. Notice that it did accelerate in its uptrend before pulling back to the moving average. Another Landry-like pullback. Now, additional weakness here. Obviously, I might pull this one off too, but for now, I think it's worth a shot. Nice deep retracement. And by the way, these deep retracements in a lot of the stocks, a lot of the sectors, are setting up a little structure in the market. In some cases, it's so deep that it's either one or two things. It's either going to take off again, okay, because that shook everybody out, kind of like in the spirit of a trend knockout, or it's going to continue to roll over. If it stalls out a little bit in this rally, that becomes like a first thrust or a bow tie. So I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth, but in some cases like silver and gold, we're at a bit of an inflection point. I'm still bullish on them and I'm still recommending stocks in those areas, but make sure you're waiting for entries on those. And of course, honor your stops once triggered. And that's where you could have a really amazing opportunity, because a lot of people got shaken out. It also, when a market goes kind of parabolic, it sucks in a lot of Johnny come latelys, and they don't have a lot of staying power either mentally or monetarily. And those are the absolute worst traders, because they'll dump right on top of you. They're quick, they're fickle, they're not buying holders or anything like that. They don't have enough margin or money or whatever the case is, or emotions or whatever, mental capacity to stick with the position. They get sucked in at the worst time and they get spit right out. And we could use that predicament to our advantage. Now, it sucks with anything that we're long, as I just showed you with the gold stocks, right? But if we survive the correction, we might be in pretty good shape. So we'll have to wait and see. But this is the part that kind of sucks, okay? The easy part was riding those trends for the last 6 months, okay? And now it's starting to chop around and on. This is where it gets kind of tough. Anyway, another setup here, initial profit target up here. This sector is looking really good, so we'll see what happens. Now, this is not a mystery chart because it triggered already before I got to show it here. Anyway, there's all the parameters. Entries here, stop is here, initial profit target up here. So we'll see what happens. So far, not so good on this one, but it's early days, right? Now, this was a former mystery chart. This is what I talked a lot about, because on a 100K account, we, over like 2 week period, we had a loss of 1686. I got raked over the coals on this one. I'm guessing the gentleman probably bailed out because he was frustrated, as opposed to following the plan. They don't always come back. If they always came back, you'd never see my fat ass again. But anyway, it made like a $2,800 swing, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. And the stop is bumped up to break even plus a little bit. And we came dangerously close to stopping out yesterday. Where are we today? We're kind of Flatsville, so we'll just see what happens, okay? Here's another one that's not a mystery chart because it triggered intra-week. And ASTI, the entry is here, stop is here. Nice Landry-like pullback, nice longer-term trend. Notice that it began to accelerate higher. And also we have that minor double top working, which is kind of cool. All right. One thing I was looking at this morning is this is the entire Landry 100. And I started by tracking, and it's a little hard to read, but this is that USAS, which drew down significantly. I think it was 1,300% last week. Now this week it's 948%. And you can see there's some 300s and 200s and 175 and even 20 and 30% is better than the poke in the eye, right? So this is sorted by strength. Now, there are some stinkers in here, okay? And as I often preach, momentum and trend trades eventually end badly. So like this RAL, it's down like 20 something percent or whatever. And that was just today alone, okay, or maybe 30-something percent. So that'll probably come out tonight, probably the ones at the bottom of this list. So keep in mind, there's a constant window dressing, so to speak. I'm doing my Gavin Newsom impression. There's a constant window dressing, so to speak. Anyway, so I'm kicking out the sneakers that I'm keeping the winners. Now, even though it's constant window dressing, notice that the tracking date on this is 4/28/25. And look at this one. This one goes all the way back to, this is Tigo, T-I-G-O, 3/14/25. Okay, so we're closing in and possibly a year on some of these things. And that's because we're keeping the winners and we're kicking out the losers. This is a great exercise. This is not real money. This is a great exercise in momentum and seeing where the money's flowing and all those other great things. And I published this to my YouTube group, I'm sorry, my Facebook group, and I also put it in my Substack. I do weekly updates there. All right. Any questions on all that? All right, let's shift gears and get into the trading resolutions. And one thing that I was thinking about yesterday and day before when I'm putting all these together is it's a lot. I've forgotten how hard it is. And the reason it's hard is because a lot of them sound a lot alike, okay? So like follow your plan, of course, is also don't micromanage. And that's a separate one for micromanaging. So I think it bears repeating in some cases. And you know me, I do tend to beat the dead horse. So a lot of them will kind of look alike. I mean, the bottom line is just do it. Pick the best stocks, you know, trade the best, leave the rest. Play your trade your plan. That's it, you know? My work is done. I need to get me a fake mic to drop. Last time I dropped the mic, I broke it. Anyway, I will not take any unnecessary action, thereby micromanaging myself out of trades. It's tough. I mean, you know, we got into the, I think it was AXTI or AG yesterday, and we're immediately, it's down to $1.80 right now. We're immediately facing a loss there, and the human nature is to bail out, and the human nature is to bail out like something like the glue, right, that we talked about a few minutes ago. However, the thing to do is follow the plan. Yeah, there's been a lot of times, or there'll be a lot of times where getting out would have saved you a lot of money, but if you always getting out, you're never going to catch a trend. I can almost all but guarantee that. So there's always going to be a reason at home where you might need money and you're equating that trading account money, because funds are fungible, right, with you know, your bills at home or whatever the case may be. You might feel like it's dead money, like I'm a trader, it should be moving if I'm in it, you know, and all these things that sound good on paper, but in reality are a lot tougher to implement. So you don't want to take any unnecessary action, thereby micromanaging yourself out of the trades. Now, I beat the dead horse on this one, but getting back to the KGC, you could see that this thing died for months, okay? So that would be dead money. And but notice it never went below the 30 EMA, and that's kind of amazing to me. It just made a big old base, and as Mr. Acaporo says, the bigger the base, the bigger the launch into space, and that's what happened to this one, right? So there's nothing to do as long as you have a plan in place and will exit if stopped out. Another mic drop moment, right? Anyway, it did eventually take off, and notice that it had some pullbacks along the way, and this was a pretty ugly pullback here, and that last one we just showed was really ugly too. Now, if you'd have bailed out here, you wouldn't have caught this move higher, right? Or if you'd have bailed out on any other one of these little drawdowns. And the other thing too is when I was putting this slide together, the intraday swings and sometimes the day over day swings are pretty big too. And if you're watching every tick, which I'm often guilty of, I mean, I came this morning and dropped a couple of F-bombs and because I was getting whacked overnight and I'm still getting whacked and it's come back significantly, but I find myself kind of, I keep looking over and it's like, oh, I'm getting hit again. Okay, good, it came off. And you know, I'm putting myself through a few too many of those emotional round trips, so to speak. And you got to be careful with that. And as I often say, the neurology behind that is a negative observation or a negative trade, a stop out or whatever, has twice, and some people say much more impact than a positive one. And that's actually been measured on a chemical level inside the brain. So if you're watching the screen too much, guilty as charged, you know, it could affect your trading, obviously. Anyway, this is one that we got in, obviously, back in May. And it traded a little bit higher, and then it died. And it was like, oh, God, we're kind of like that glue did. It's like, okay, well, here we go again. I'm going to have another loss here. Then finally, it took off. But like the KGC, lots of zigs and zags, lots of deep pullbacks along the way. And again, if done properly, you open up that stop, and if it truly is the mother of all trends, then you're able to ride that trend for a long, 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 long time. And you have to live with some of these open profit drawdowns along the way. It comes with the territory. Now, I would do a serious pre-mortem on every trade. We're going to get to the post-mortem in 1 second. But a pre-mortem is very important, too. And I added the word emotional pre-market or emotion pre-market to this. And that's kind of like your last little check mark. You think you have something that's worth trading, but you need to ask yourself, is that going to make future Dave angry? Now, this kind of dovetails in with the post-mortem. But if you stop out on a trade and the first thing you say is, I knew I shouldn't have taken that trade. Well, you learn something, okay? You learn that your analysis going in and possibly your emotions going in got the better of you and you took a mediocre trade. So learn from that situation. And kind of like do like a little time travel thing where it's like, okay, how am I going to feel in the future? Years ago, my daughter had gotten us watching Queen of the South. We gave up on it quickly, but the early episodes were pretty good. And she's a drug dealer. I think she was a mule at first or whatever. And it's like her future self would talk to her, which was kind of quirky, but kind of cool, you know? And so I know it sounds, what's the word? Hokey or quirky, but think about that. You know, is your present self going to make your future self angry? And how are you going to feel when that trade stops out? Should it stop out, obviously. So ask yourself, okay, if this trade ends miserably, and that's where the FEA test comes in, okay? We talked about the FEA test, taking only 11 trades out of a scale of 0 to 10, right? Taking only 11s. And if you're doing that and you're like, you have to be flippant, like this, I know this is a great trade. I know it's worth taking. If I stop out, that's okay. I know that I'm one step closer to better trades. And I hate to tell the story again, but Mark Douglas tells a great story. He says that the good salesman makes a few sales calls, gets rejected, goes grab a cup of coffee, and then comes back to the phone with new energy because he knows he's getting closer and closer and closer and closer to the sale. It's all statistics, right? Whereas the bad salesman has a few bad sales calls and then goes out and drinks his lunch, okay? So a good trader who's picking only 11s, it gets stopped out a few times, he feels like he's due, whereas a bad trader gets stopped out a few times, and then the behaviors tend to spiral. All right, number 18, I will do an honest post-mortem on every trade. So your best defense, I talk a lot about money management, but your best defense is a good offense. And that's where that pre-mortem comes in. But after all is said and done and after the dust settles, you need to go in and do your post-mortem on the trade, not to be confused with post-Malone. I made that horrible joke so many times. What are you guys? Mike Peterson sent me a post-Malone shirt. Anyway, did you really pick the best and leave the rest, okay? And again, if you're saying, I knew I should have taken that trade, be better. Get better, okay? I'm not without my flaws. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you what you should do. I don't always do it, but you should do these things. You got to work hard to separate luck from skill. Annie Duke talks a lot about this and apply to trading. You know, she talked about poker players, but like a bad poker player – tends to equate bad playing with bad luck, and a good poker player tends to equate, if he plays properly, of course, you might have some bad luck. They just chalk it up to it happens, right? But if they lose, they really look at what they did right or wrong. She does a compare and contrast to two different poker players. And one guy, he's at the bar, he won the tournament, but he's beating himself up because 3 games ago he played a hand incorrectly. And the other guy, I think it's Helmuth, he's a little bit more braggadocious, and if he loses, it's because of bad luck. So two different poker players there. But yeah, you need to separate luck from skill. And if you did get lucky, you need to just thank the market gods and swear to never do that again. Again, as I beat the dead horse, the market can be a really bad teacher. And so again, here it comes again, you know, to beat the dead horse. If you're thinking, what the hell was I thinking? That's okay. Okay. Great. You're on your way. You realize that, okay, I made a mistake over here, right? I did a poor pre-mortem, right? I didn't pick an 11. Okay. Or if you're thinking, well, in hindsight, I just got lucky on that one. That's fantastic too. That would be fantastic too. Okay. Let's say you make some money on the trade and you don't equate it to skill. If you equate it to skill, you get into a lot of trouble. Last week, I talked about the 5 most dangerous words on Wall Street, but it was working so well. Okay. And sometimes I see people come to markets, great momentum markets. I saw some, there's someone recently claims they made $1 million trading gold and silver. And it's like, well, I'd like to know how they're doing now, you know, because the bloom is off that rose a little bit. So you could be in the right place at the right time. The problem is you have to figure out how to keep that money. There's a lot of people that have been in the right place at the right time throughout history. You know, by the example I often use, a buddy of mine turned $5,000, which I later learned was probably of questionable origin, into $1 million. But he round tripped it. Okay. Ended up homeless and now he's dead. Womp womp. But two different stories. But two drink minimum, I should say, on those stories. But anyway, now if you think, well, I lost, but if I saw the same setup again, did I say that yet today? I take it in a heartbeat. Well, great, you're on your way. So figure out whether you're moving toward your goal, away from the goal. And sometimes money as a way of keeping score, it doesn't always tell the true picture. If you did get lucky and make money, that it counts, right? Because it's in your account. But longer term, you could be setting up some bad behaviors. All right. Number 19. I will seek entertainment outside of the markets. If you're looking for excitement, go to Vegas. That way, at least a pretty girl bring you a drink while you lose your money. Or, as I often say, have an affair, because that way you only lose half of your money, okay? Russian friend of mine. I make a couple of jokes at my wife's expense, and then I also make this joke. And he comes up to me later. He goes, Dave, are you and Mushy okay? I'm like, yeah, we're fine. He goes, well, some of the things you said in your presentation, I'm like, well, it's okay. Now, one thing you have to remember, what was 19? Oh, yeah, seeking a tape. Almost forgot. You never forget that the only reason to ever put on a trade is to make money. And you have to be careful if you're trading for recreation or trading for boredom. Now, I occasionally do an S&G trade. And that's maybe like on a Friday afternoon. And something's kind of like looking like it could possibly move a significant amount, I might buy some cheap out of the money options so I could sweep it under the rug if it doesn't work. And I often joke in the Facebook group, it's either going to be pizza or steak that night, depending on how things work out. And you can get a little bit pregnant. So you got to be careful with that type of trading. And that's one thing I'm definitely guilty of. But while we're having admission time here, I also sometimes, because I'm here all day and I have so much work to do, I'm just always slammed. If I would just focus on that work, I would not be focused on the expecting the market to entertain me. Okay, so I do get sucked in a little bit. Sakota, I think it was, said that having a quote machine on your desk is like having a slot machine on your desk. You're going to want to feed it. So be careful with that. But yeah, the only reason to ever trade is to make money. And sometimes, especially when I speak in person, I'll say, why should you trade? And I get all kind of, for the challenge, for this, whatever. It's like usually making money is kind of down the road, and it always kind of shocks me. And you always have to come back to, why am I doing this? Why am I putting capital in the harm's way? So hopefully I could increase that capital. Now, to take the hope out of it, you need to do all these things I said, trade your number 11s, your FEO trades, et cetera. Now, I beat the dead horse on this. I talked about this with last week. And this is a doctor client of mine. He said my trading got a lot better. And I'm like, okay, what are you doing? Because I can maybe learn from you something here. And he goes, well, I'm here dust to dawn, but I'm not trading like a crazy man. And then his wife, not his wife, but the person who was covering his shift at the hospital quit, and he had to cover her shift too. So he just got like crazy, crazy busy. And all of a sudden, his trading account started going up because he was taking the position trades. He was not micromanaging. He wasn't taking day trades. He was just letting the chips fall where they may. And he did pretty well. Now, this is something I touched upon a minute ago. The more you observe, the more, I guess you should say, the more you observe the market unnecessary action that you will take, the more you observe, the more unnecessary action that you will take, and the more likely you put yourself into a state of regret, even on winning positions. Okay, so this morning, for instance, this market is all over the place, and I felt like, okay, I could chase it lower, I didn't say chase it lower. It's like, okay, it's coming apart. Maybe I should short. It's like, well, hang on a second, Dave, and all of a sudden it goes straight back up. And I'm thinking like, oh, well, should I get long? And it's like, well, hang on, Dave, just chill out. You woke up this morning, the first thing you wrote was markets are chopping all over the place. Don't chase them. Don't chase your own tail. And I would have gotten myself into a lot of trouble. So one thing I talked about before is, in addition to documenting your actions, also document your non-actions. So this morning I wrote something like, stock sell is tempting me, or something along those lines. And I didn't take the trade, thank goodness. I've got a lot of in here, WHEW exclamation point. So you have to be careful not to watch the market too much, especially if you're position trading. Like I just said, and I'm guilty, but the intraday equity is all over the place, and especially now with the market's getting a little crazy. So you got to be careful with that. And you have to be as close to the market as you need to be, but no closer. All right, number 20, I will hold myself accountable. Now, it's going to be hard not to retell stories here, but we talked about commitment devices a few weeks ago. Again, just not to beat a dead horse, but it's the same guy. Most of my stories come from the same guy. He's really smart too. He's an awesome trader. The wheels come off the bus every now and then, like us all, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, long story endless, I told him, I said, look, you're doing a really good job following my stuff, and you've made money over time. It's like you just kind of blow up and do the day trading and S&G trading and all this other stuff, and that seems to be killing your trading. What if you told your wife you're going to follow this guy, and he's wrong sometimes, often wrong, but never in doubt, which you should be too, by the way, if you're in this business. And there's going to be ups and downs, but longer term, we should do okay. And I'm going to show you that I'm following a plan and so on and so forth. And that would force him to justify, well, I just lost $5,000 because I day traded or whatever. That would force him to justify that kind of action. And I said, what if you told your wife all these things and checked in with her every day? And he says, oh, no, that would end the marriage. So very hard to hold yourself accountable. And the other lesson there is, as I often preach, you know what you're doing wrong? You know what you're doing wrong. I know of one person who was somewhat newer to trading, and he actually sat down with his wife and said, this is how much we're going to allocate to trading. This is the type of trading we're going to do. When we hit this amount of losses, we're going to stop. And then he laid the whole plan out to her, and he did quite well because he held himself accountable. And it was very hard for him to fire off a trade for recreation or whatever else. All right, let's shift gears and get into crypto. If there's any pairs that you guys want me to take a look at, let me know. I doubt that there will be. I'm going to admit a little guilt here. I really haven't been spending a lot of time in crypto lately because it's kind of like, why bother, right? So take a look at Bitcoin. Let me make sure this is being shared. Okay, Bitcoin is absolutely imploded. I remember way back here when it was closer to 100K, I put out a tweet that said it's always darkest before it gets more dark. I actually put out another one of those tweets yesterday, okay? And now we're down almost double digits today. Now, it doesn't mean you should just blindly jump in and short it, although that's probably a lot better idea than trying to catch this falling knife. So you don't know what's happening. Now, keep in mind whether or not this is fundamentally a good reason why it's selling off or what. Anybody who bought it at 130 is now a hurting pup. What did I say a little while ago? All asset classes at some point in your lifetime will lose at least 50% of their value. There you go. Bitcoin 130, Bitcoin 66K. Okay. That's about half round numbers, right? Thereabouts. So nothing to do there. Bitcoin, obviously kind of the bellwether for crypto. When Bitcoin is doing really well, sometimes you can come in here and trade these so-called shit coins just by the strongest ones. Now is not that time to do these things. So let's just look at some strong ones or whatever today's are for now. And again, I'm admitting my guilt here. I haven't been doing my homework here just because I kind of figured why bother. It's likely not going to be anything, but it only takes 5 minutes, maybe not even that long. So I need to get back on this again. This is one of a million little things. Do your homework, even though conditions are not conducive. Okay. Let's take a look at Ethereum. Anybody, any pairs you guys want to look at, just let me know real quick. Again, I really doubt there's anything that could be worthwhile at this juncture. So Ethereum looking as ugly or uglier than Bitcoin. What did I say earlier? All asset classes lose half their value. 4,700, now less than 2,000. Okay, that's more than half of its value. I have an article, there are no good longer-term investments. In the beginning, of the first part of the title is cash is not trash. As I often say, better to be on the dock drinking beer, wishing you out to sea, than out to sea, wishing you're on the dock drinking beer. We almost sank. I've been in nasty storms. We almost sank like 300 or 400 miles off of Bermuda. So I know that to be true. Greg Moore says the same thing about flying. He used to be a fighter pilot and an airline pilot. All right. I don't think there's anything happening in crypto. Let's hop over stocks. Okay. Remember a second ago I said that momentum ends badly. So here's an ugly trade here. Or I didn't actually take the trade, but it's an ugly one. This is RAL. So just was banging out brand new highs just yesterday, and then it implodes today. So that'll come out of the Landry 100. Let's take a look at the overall market, and then we'll drill down a little bit. First of all, let's take a look at the P's. S&P 500 selling off fairly hard today, but now off its worst levels. You know, let's do something for S&Gs here just real quick. Let's take a look at the spiders. So we take a look at the spiders, and you know, if you look at an intraday chart, it's a Jackie Mason market, okay? It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. So very dangerous market to try to do anything with. So be careful. The other thing you need to look at, first of all, we're below the 50 simple moving average, but the other thing you need to look at is the net price change. And you can go all the way back to October, and you can see we haven't made a whole lot of forward progress. We were just at all-time highs not too long ago, but now we're beginning to come in. So I would call this market mostly sideways. Notice your moving averages are coming down, an exponential moving average. I'm gonna learn this from Greg Morris. As soon as the price crosses below it, we'll turn down, okay? That's how heavy the weighting is on current price. So you can see this close here, the 20 turned down and the 30 turned down, okay? Now the 10 is a simple, takes a little bit more time to turn. And I used a simple on purpose with the 10, just so I could see a true 10-day average, okay? And also because it's a little slower to turn, you don't wanna chase your own tail, so to speak. But with the longer term moving averages, you want those to be exponential, unless, of course, you're looking at the overall market and something that's well watched, like the 50 simple moving average, which I have plotted here. Anyway, those moving averages are turning down. We could get a bow tie to the downside. It's not the end of the world if it happens. We had one back here, but the market went back up. That's good, right? But it does pay to pay attention to that bow tie proper order. NASDAQ composite starting to look pretty ugly. Notice that these moving averages are coming into this 50 simple really hard, okay? I'd like to see us, certainly back at a plus column today. But this, with today's action, if we close in a negative column about where we are now, it's going to start looking, it's beginning to look a little ugly based on that. But we did almost get to all-time highs and we stalled out. So that's what, a double top. So that's a little concerning there. Now, the Rusty has just been absolutely amazing. And I'm not sure what's going on here, but it's looking pretty darn good. So this is a glimmer of hope for us. The fact that the Russell's looking so great. Now, how long can this be the dog with least fleas? I don't know, okay, as far as the indices are concerned. But it still looks okay. Now, if it does get whacked fairly hard, let's just say this prior peak gets taken out decisively to the downside and the 50 simple gets taken out, then all bets are off. But for now, it still looks pretty good. Gold, the commodity, now this is where we could be at an inflection point soon. So far, albeit quite deeply, but so far, a lot of these metals just look like they're having the mother of all corrections. However, it's what happens next that's important. If they rally up and then stall out, then the next leg could be down. So, hey, use the word hope, but hopefully we'll see some serious strength here so we don't have to deal with tops in these metals. But it is starting to look a little questionable, the fact that we haven't continued to rally out. You can see the silver tried to rally out, but now it's come back in today. It's getting whacked pretty hard. So that's a little bit of concern, a lot of concern, if you're long silver stocks like I am. Semiconductors looking pretty good, bouncing off that 50. So let's not kiss each other just yet, but that's a nice little deep retracement. And again, if they kind of stall out a little bit over the next week or so, that could get fairly ugly. I'd like to see them rally and get back to old highs. There's enough fear that's been injected into the market to kind of shake out some players, and that's a good thing, okay, as long as we don't get shaken out in the process. Let's see if I have my VIX research here. Now, the VIX, as I often preach, only matters when it matters, okay? So based on today's sell-off, you can see the VIX on a closing basis right now is 19% away from the 10-day simple moving average. VIX is volatility, and volatility tends to be a reversion to the mean market, okay? Volatility dries up, it takes off, and then it implodes, okay? And then it overshoots is what I learned from Larry Connors many years ago. So based on today's action, where we are now, check back often, it looks like this little spike in here followed by a spike in volatility, we could be looking at a short-term bottom fairly soon, okay? Let's not start kissing each other just yet. A lot of stuff could happen between now and then, but let's just see if this turns out to be a minor bottom. Now, you can see other spikes in the VIX. See, it could certainly go a lot further, okay? Back here, the spike was pretty ridiculous. 50-something percent, okay, at least on the high basis. So it doesn't mean that it's going to stop just because it went higher, but it starts getting kind of frothy with the volatility. That high of volatility can't sustain itself because you're looking at the implieds on the options, and that level of implied just eventually implodes upon itself. But don't rush out and sell options because of that, because it can get much worse before it gets better. But anyway, so the VIX only matters when it matters, as I preach. So keep an eye on the VIX now because it is stretching away from that moving average. Biotechnology has been a little sideways as of late. Longer term, still looks pretty good. Unfortunately, though, it's been really sideways, as I just said. And let's hope it makes some new highs sooner rather than later. Infrastructure just off an all-time high. Software looks abysmal. Look at that. It continues to implode here. banging out new lows today. So that's pretty ugly. Healthcare, not looking so hot. Medical devices, there it is. Looking pretty ugly too. Nice breakdown there. Back to the upside. Defense still looks pretty good. We have a defense stock in as one of the mystery charts today. So we'll see what happens. But we're definitely going to wait for an entry on that since this defense has pulled back fairly deeply. Defense still looks pretty good. Let's just see what happens. Transports banging out new highs today. So some areas doing pretty good. Some areas not so much. Banks just off of all-time highs. That's looking pretty good. A lot of your metals, and this is, I know this is not a rare earth, but I lump it in with the rare earths. It's rare earths. So far, just pull it back. Look poised to make a new leg higher. I guess REMAX would be more of a rare earth because it's a rare earth ETF. Deep pullback here. Still looks okay longer term, but this is yet another situation where you could get into a market at an inflection point where if it rallies up a little bit and then tanks, that would be, as we say in Mexico, no bueno. Again, silver's looking kind of ugly. This breakdown is not good. So this is a little pullback here, and then we imploded. So that is obviously a bit of a bummer. Things can change quickly, obviously. Semiconductors have pulled all the way back to that 50. I don't know if I just mentioned them or not, but that looks okay. The 50, which corresponds to the prior peaks, and the joke I used to make there is a lot of technical analysis comes together at one point. A lot of technicals come together, and it's like, how do it? No, it's like the thermos keeps the hot things hot, the cold things cold. How do it? No. So how do it know that the 50 is also the prior peaks in here, and that's where it should find support. Should be in a key word in that sentence. Who was it? I forget. Somebody told the story. I think it was Mark Douglas. A few people told the story. So floor trader was moving up to trade off floor. So he had some technician teach him technical analysis. And he says, well, this is support. The market shouldn't go through this level. And the guy picks up the phone and calls his broker and says, how many beans to move the market? And the guy says, you know, whatever, 10,000 bushels or 100,000 bushels. It's a long since traded beans. I don't remember. I think it was like 100,000 bushels or whatever. He says, at the market. And then the market immediately started breaking down past that lane, past that layer level. And he says, you were saying? So anybody could, you know, all it takes is one trader to screw things up. Financials not looking so hot. We got a bow tie to the downside. That's looking kind of ugly. I wouldn't rush out and short them, but I certainly wouldn't buy them because they're a little wide and loose, but they look like they could be in trouble. Telecom broke out a couple days ago, came right back in. So that's a bit of a bummer. Metals overall still look pretty good. You can see that the drawdown or the pullback isn't quite as dramatic as some of the individual metals. Energies just banged out new highs yesterday, looking pretty good. All service and production also looking pretty good. There's all service, bam, just made new highs yesterday, pulling back a little today, but longer term looking pretty darn good. The agribusiness and foods are doing well. You can see a nice uptrend remaining intact there. PVJ kind of off to the races. I don't know if we'll find the food stocks we want to trade, but that's pretty impressive. The only problem here is that's considered a defensive area. So when it goes up, I'm not exactly sure that that's bullish. Major drugs just up all-time high. So far, nice uptrend remains intact there. Back to the downside, cloud computing, banging out some new lows, a little bit of vigor remaining in a downtrend. Uranium, big deep pullback. I still like uranium for now, but that's another one of those mystery charts, right? But that could change quickly if it rallies up a little bit and then rolls right back over, especially if it comes back in below where it broke out from. So the point I'm trying to make again is that we are at a bit of an inflection point with a lot of these sectors and markets. All right, let's open it up for questions on individual stocks. If there's anything you want me to look at, let me know. All right, while we're at an impasse, obviously I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. Anything unanswered, davidlandry.com. And I'll give my YouTube peeps a minute to catch up. Okay. All right. Again, thank you everybody for attending today. Anything unanswered, again, David@davidlander.com. Everybody have a great weekend. I'll see most of you guys at Facebook in a few minutes. Everybody else, again, have a great weekend. And hopefully we'll see all you guys and girls again next week. Again, have a great weekend and may the trend be with you. Thank you.